1 Samuel chapter 12, starting in the 6th verse. The reason I encourage you to read along is because we all learn differently. And because when you are looking and hearing at the same time, learning is enhanced. Today's message is entitled Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. This is actually the second part of a series on these verses. Before I begin, I have a paragraph of introduction, a context, so you'll know what the scripture is about. Today's scripture is a sermon preached by Samuel. He's the last judge of Israel. And he's doing this at the coronation of Saul, the first king of Israel. It is a time of transition for the nation. Instead of leadership from judges, kings will be in charge. Samuel wants to make sure that they get up on the right foot, so to speak. Although much of Samuel's authority will be transferred to Saul, Samuel is still a prophet of the Most High God. So here we go, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I'm going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers." After Jacob entered Egypt, Jacob was a reference to the nation Israel. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt, and settled them in this place, the promised land. But they forgot the Lord their God. They forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, "We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you." Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, also known as Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. And he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side, so that you lived securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, was moving against you, you said to me, "No, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here's the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. This is a miracle because it did not rain during the harvest season. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die. For we have added to our other sins the evil of asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. Do not turn after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, holy, righteous, loving God, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient in all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Lord, we pray a movement of God, the Holy Spirit, upon us now, that we will see and hear what you desire to reveal, and then respond in submission. Do not let this preacher get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We all have foundational guiding principles by which we live. Some say it's all about me. For others, they think that whoever dies with the most toys wins. Today, there are many that believe that humankind can solve all their problems if we just give them more education. Some kind of utopia is possible through human effort because we are basically good. That's not what the Bible says. Then there is the party hardy crowd. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. These foundational guiding principles are extended to the groups and organizations to which people belong. At the beginning of service today, Troop 77,
hoorah!
They recited the Scout Law and Scout Oath. The pledges we heard were in sharp contrast to the people in my previous paragraph. A way of thinking, believing, and acting was professed. And although my plan was to preach this text today, whether or not it was Boy Scout Sunday, it will be easy for me to demonstrate the connection to the Scout Oath and Law to our scripture. And because I do not believe in coincidence, I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, was involved in that. We must begin by defining the fear of the Lord. There are so many scriptures in our Bible that address it. Fear of the Lord is one of the most important guiding principles for Christians, not just the Jews. Yes, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament too. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the awe that a person ought to have before God. The Scout Oath uses reverence instead of awe. It is an awareness of God's magnificence. That's why we say majesty, worship his majesty, just before the message. Fearing God is recognition that every person will be held accountable to God on the day of judgment, which none of us will escape. This fear is to be conjoined, put together with love and hope, and is therefore not some kind of slavish dread, but rather a filial reverence. Okay, so what does filial mean? It means something that is due from a son or daughter, like the love of a child for their parent. There are synonyms for filial: dutiful, devoted, loyal, faithful, compliant, respectful, and dedicated. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is King Solomon, Israel's third king and the wisest man of all time, his wrestling with the meaning of life. And after 12 chapters, hear Solomon's conclusion. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There are literally over 200 verses that address fearing God. And to get the full scope and all the nuances of this healthy, life-giving fear, you would have to examine them all. But I'm only going to give you a few. Proverbs 1:7, you probably have heard this one frequently. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Isaiah 8, verses 13 and 14. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary. You see how that tries to give you a fuller understanding, right? The one to fear, the one to dread, but at the same time, he's your sanctuary. Psalm 31, verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. And then here are the very words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 10, verses 28 to 31. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus' words. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You and I frequently fear the things of this world and not the Lord Almighty. Jesus establishes first that an eternal perspective is most important. Second, God is the ultimate authority over your eternal life. Third, God is sovereign. Fourth, we are to have faith and trust in God. Fifth, each of us is known intimately by God. The very hairs in your head. Six, each of us is valued by God. This is the God who gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the context of godly fear. So I went online and I looked up the meaning of the Scout Law from the Scouts BSA Handbook. I'm sure all you Scouts have it on your night table, right? It was interesting to me that the 12th and last law is a scout is reverent. It seems that this is a capstone of the scout law. Not only does it sit atop of all the others, but it holds them all in one place. It gives them strength and staying power. The handbook explains, a scout is reverent toward God. He is faithful in his religious duties. He respects the beliefs of others. The Scout Oath expands and amplifies that law. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Certainly, you can see how similar Samuel's charge to the nation of Israel is to the Scout Law and Oath. Verse 14, fear the Lord and serve and obey him. Verse 24, sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Troop 77.
Hoorah!
Let me suggest an exercise for you. That you put the scout law with their meanings in one column. And those two verses that I just gave you, 14 and 24, in an adjacent column. We've all done this exercise at school, other applications, right? And then match the connections and draw a line from the law to the scripture. I would take the time to do it now, but I have a basketball game to go to at 2 o'clock, so I can't help. But I invite you to do that. Samuel is addressing all of Israel and their new king, Saul. These requirements of a right relationship with the Lord Almighty and faithful obedience apply to the king also. No one, regardless of position or power, is exempt from them. We are responsible individually and corporately. Every group or community we belong to should submit ultimately to God. A scout is obedient. A scout follows the rules of his family, school, and troop. He obeys the laws of the community and his country. If he thinks these rules and laws are unfair, he tries to have them changed in an orderly manner rather than disobeying them. What would happen if a scout was regularly disobedient? Well, at first, they would be corrected and encouraged to comply, right? And if they persisted in disobedience, probably be put out of the troop. Now imagine if one of your adult leaders routinely modeled a behavior inconsistent with the scout law. Not only would it be a terrible example and undermine what the other faithful leaders are doing, they would have to bear consequences for their actions. Being an Eagle Scout, as you know, is a serious accomplishment. As a scout progresses, they learn and are given more responsibility. A scout not only expands his skill set, he learns discipline, right? Probably the most important thing a scout learns, in my estimation, is leadership. At each stage of advancement, a scout learns not only how to share with those under their charge, but also learns how to care for those under their charge. Having Eagle Scout on your resume makes you a desirable contributor to any organization. Now, let me point out how important the idea of serving is to being a scout. The concept is integral to the scout law, using words like help and duty and caring. And here's one of the requirements for becoming an Eagle Scout, which most of you probably already know. While a Life Scout, plan, develop, and give leadership to others in a service project helpful to any religious institution, any school, or your community. Now, recently, I saw an excellent example of servant leadership, godly leadership. As many of you know, and a couple of you go there, the Pilgrim Academy is a Christian school here in Galway. They have over 400 students from pre-K through 12. Mr. Chris Storr is the headmaster of the school. And not only is he the headmaster, he coaches the varsity boys basketball team. We were at a game recently to watch our grandsons play. And during the game, a couple of the players landed on the floor trying to get the ball, leaving a wet spot. And the referees called for a towel. People were looking around, and Mr. Storr reaches behind the bench and grabs a towel. He didn't hand it to one of the players. He didn't hand it to the referees. He went out on the floor, got on his hands and knees, and wiped it up himself. The crowd cheered. Think of the example that sets for all the young people, and we adults also. A few days later, we're at a junior varsity game where Mr. Storr is not the coach. And at one point during the game, I noticed movement over by the gym entrance. Mr. Storr was in the foyer vacuuming the floor mat, so that dirt wouldn't come into the gym. Although he has many responsibilities, he remains a humble man. He serves the Lord with his whole heart. He is helpful and cheerful. Now, in sharp contrast to this, I think about the world stage. I think about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Do you think that the Russian leadership fears the Lord? They need to hear Samuel's closing admonition. If you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. And the author of Hebrews tells us it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Apostle John makes a strong comparison in his heavenly vision of Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 through 18. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Did you catch rewarding your saints? Who are the saints? Our New Testament makes it very clear that the term saints applies to every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you are a saint. If you fear the Lord and obey him, you are a saint. If you serve the Lord faithfully with all your heart, you are a saint. This is what the scriptures teach. If you are a saint and you think of yourself as a saint using the definition that I just gave you, that guiding principle will define your thoughts and actions. The body of Christ, the church, is filled with saints. Are they perfect? Certainly not. I include myself in that. Are they new creations in Christ becoming more like their Savior day by day? Certainly, yes. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things the Lord has done for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Most precious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, its power. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us understand that what we believe in our heart will determine how we act. And if we confess to you as Lord and Savior, our actions to reflect that. And if they do not, may we repent and turn back. We thank you that you are a long-suffering God, a God quick to forgive. And we promise that if we confess our sins, that he was faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ, will cleanse us of our sins and make us righteous before you. So Lord, let our hearts, our whole heart, be aligned with your will and your purposes. And let our actions flow out of what we believe. Wherever we walk, not just today, but Monday, Tuesday, into March, into 2023. Lord, we live in a crazy world, and we need an anchor. Let us take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.